This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Uh-huh. Not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie is back.
Yeah.
Chris McMichael.
That's the name.
Sports Radio 101.
Yes, sir. 202 on the fan. McMonagle here with you on this Tuesday morning. Got you for 3 hours until the warm-up show at 5. 888-808-1019. We got Fleegs on the other side. And we're off to a rip-roaring spring training. Are we? Man, this is good stuff. It actually said 45 degrees driving in today. That was nice. Warming up a little bit. But both the New York Mets and New York Yankees dealing with significant injuries. One new, one we already knew about. We'll get to Stanton in a little bit, but we got to start with the Mets and Minaya. If you haven't heard, which I'm sure you have by now, it's been, I don't know, more than 12 hours ago. Sean Minaya of the New York Mets, obviously, in many ways, probably the ace of the staff. I know Kodai Senga and his ability hasn't pitched in a year, though, and how good was Minaya for the Mets down the stretch of last year, brought back again for another run at it, and he has now been sidelined with an oblique injury. And the timelines are all over the place, but let me just tell you this, right? Because you heard, like, obviously he's going down, and at the start of the year, a lot of us, myself included, right at the top of the list, had a lot of reservations about this Mets staff and trying to run it back in the same way they did last year, with patchwork and one-year contracts and hopeful, you know, bounce-back seasons for career guys who've had, you know, decent careers, but looking for that bounce back, the Severinos, the Minaya, which you got both, you got all of them, really. Peterson had arguably the best stretch of his career with the Mets. Obviously, Severino worked an unbelievable season and got a contract with the Athletics, and Minaya was incredible for them down the stretch and got another contract. And now you're looking at this rotation. At the beginning of the year, the GM told you he likes this rotation better, that the depth of this rotation is actually a positive and that it's far better than it was even last year. And I echoed his comments of, sure, the depth might be better when you look at the Griffin Cannings of the world and you look at, you know, Blackburn and you look at McGill. Sure, you're 6, 7, 8. It might be better than last year, but you still went about the rotation in a similar fashion. You're still counting on Kodai Senga at the top of the rotation, who hasn't pitched in a year. You're still going out and running out to give short-term contracts to pitchers who you're hoping to have bounce backs in Frankie Montas, and you're transitioning a failed closer, which I hate saying, but it's the truth, with Clay Holmes and transitioning him into a starting pitcher. And you're relying on Sean Manaea and all that. And we know what the rotation was and the depth of it. And sure, fine, great, wonderful. Well, now you are a week and a half into spring training and two arms are down. And Sean Manaea, as you heard yesterday, yeah, it's an oblique. And the idea that oblique is an injury that isn't that hard to heal. Like, you listen to the manager talk, well, he might be shut down for 7 days or 2 weeks or maybe 3 weeks, and then it's a build back up. Like, the idea that we know how long Manaea is going to be out. Let me tell you this, right? And this isn't just pessimism, and this isn't just, you know, the Yankee fan trying to tell the Met fan that it's all. You know who, if you don't listen to me, you know who tells you that these injuries last longer than what we initially say? The New York Mets, David Stearns. Because if you look at it, last year, what was Senga? Senga, oh, he's going to be back, you know, it's relatively soon. It's not that you didn't see him for how long? And then he gets hurt, obviously, in the first outing. You can't do anything about that necessarily, completely different injury. But we heard Senga was going to be that long. How long did it take? And David Stearns, just inherently, by the way he likes to build the starting rotation and how he views a starting rotation and his hard and fast rule not to give pitchers long-term contracts. Do you know why he believes that? Because pitchers get hurt, and the injury to pitchers typically lasts a hell of a lot longer than they initially do, than the initial reports. So the idea, and I know Evan was speculating this, and in his podcast I listened to a little bit, and the idea of, hey, listen, they were going with a six-man rotation. They still have Griffin Canning. They still have McGill, who doesn't have any more, who has one more option to go down to the minor leagues. But they've got Griffin Canning, they've got McGill, they've got Blackburn. You know, there's so many days off at the start of the year. You won't need a six-man in the rotation until you get to late April. This might not even impact. Let me tell you something right now. The idea that you can count on Sean Manaea to be back by the end of April because it's a minor oblique strain. Do you want to know how long guys have been absent from their team, or how long they've been on an IL stint because of an oblique? Aaron Judge missed 45, 50 games with an oblique. Missed 2 months with an oblique. And this is a starting pitcher who hasn't had a spring training and will have to get re-amped up and rebuilt up. You have no idea when Sean Manaea is going to pitch again. And again, I'm not the one telling you that pitchers are unreliable when it comes to health and IL stints and how long they're going to be out. The way the Mets build their rotation on all these short-term deals tell you how they feel about starting pitchers. They don't want to invest a lot of money in starting pitchers because this is the reality of the situation. So on one hand, I can complain about how they go about building their rotation, and I can tell you I wish I had more talent, and you can't just ignore starting pitching in free agency. And if you want to compete with the Dodgers and compete with the Phillies and compete with the Braves, it's not just about pounding the baseball. You have to pitch. And yes, last year's rotation was wonderful, excellent, incredible, amazing, any other superlative you want to throw at them. But to expect to continue to be able to put this rotation together with duct tape and short-term contracts and hoping for the best of players' careers and bounce back on players who've been in the tank for the last couple of years, that is a difficult way to go about building the rotation. But on the other hand, it's almost proof when you get these injuries that maybe they're thinking correctly, because God forbid you continue to pay some of these guys who are on the other side of 30 and you deal with this year in and year out. But here's the bottom line. Sean Manaea is no longer a guarantee to be in this rotation at the start of the season, right? He's going to miss at least a month he's going to miss most of April, if not all of April, and I can't count on him. And if you are going to build your rotation this way, this is where Stearns comes in. This is where the owner comes in. Because I'm sorry, it's just money. And I know they have options, and I'm sure we're all very excited to see Griffin Canning throw for the New York Mets. Hey, he did make 30 starts last year. None of them good, of course. But hey, he did make 30 starts. And Blackburn did have a stretch before getting hurt with the Mets where he was relatively okay. And McGill has shown you the ability to get some swing and misses. And hey, look at the depth. They talked about it. Here's using the depth. Well, now that depth is in the rotation. Now you're looking at a transitioning reliever being your third starter in Clay Holmes. Now you're looking at a pitcher who hasn't thrown the ball practically in a year and a half in Kodai Senga to be your ace. That's a lot of ifs, that's a lot of question marks, and that's a lot of hope heading into a season with expectations of winning the World Series. And by the grace of God, there is an answer out there to all of your problems. A pitcher who pitched to a 3.7 ERA with the New York Mets last year, a pitcher who was unbelievably great for them in the second half, who in my mind has had back-to-back seasons of ERA under 4, pitching very well for the New York Mets, and I am shocked he's still available and out there in Jose Quintana. And we could talk about the depth, and you don't need the rotation to be a six-man rotation until late into April, and you don't know if he's going to be gone for too long. And, you know, nobody liked the Montas signing anyway, and now it's the end of the world that he's not going to be there. And, you know, there's all these reasons why you don't have to go do it. Here's the bottom line. We're not going to know. We're not going to know what Manaea's timetable is until we get into it. Like, it's not one of these things, like, if he can't throw in a week, right? If he's not ready, and if you heard the manager, oh, he might be able to throw in 7 days, 14 days, 21 days. Well, what if it's 21? And now you're spinning your wheels, not doing anything under the guise of, well, listen, who knows when he'll be back? If you are going to build your rotation in a manner the Mets build it, which is short-term deals, which is not getting invested into long-term contracts with pitchers because you don't trust their ability to stay healthy. You're not going to give big money there. You're going to spend your money with your position players, and you're going to go with guys that you believe that you can find something in where your pitching lab can convert closers into starters. Your pitching lab can find the best years of players in their 30s career on short-term deals, and you're going to give two-year deals to Omar Minaya, and you're going to give short-term deals, Frankie Montas, give short-term deals to Sean Manaea, give a one-year deal to Severino to find all these gaps and find all these guys who can come up and make, you know, these starts, and you feel you can turn them into the best years of their career, and then you let them go and find the next guy that you can have the best year of his career. If you're going to treat it like that, that's fine. There's merit in it, and I can understand it, and there's even some smarts in it, of course. I get it, because pitchers do get hurt, and we'll see. Some of these pitching contracts are disastrous by the end of it. Very smart, very shrewd. From the very smart, very shrewd executive in David Stearns. But if that's how you're going to go about building your rotation, if that's how you're going to treat it, then you can't shy away from signing more one-year contracts when the injury bug hits. And that's on the owner. And I know he spent a hell of a lot of money. And I know he brought in Juan Soto to save the day. And I know he brought in and re-signed Pete Alonso, and the payroll's up to 326, and that's a hell of a lot of money. And especially for a fan base that doesn't show up at the ballpark. And I understand that's a lot of money. And I understand that every dollar he spends from this point on has 100% tax, and it's like paying him twice. But if you are going to treat your rotation as if it's a one-year stopgap and a one-year we'll fix you, come on in, then when you deal with injuries, when you suffer the injuries, when your long-term solution, when your long-term, you know, negativity shows why you have said opinion, then you have to adjust and add more one-year contracts. This is not a long-term thing for Quintana. You're not going to have to give Quintana a long-term contract. We're a week and a half into spring training. He doesn't have a job. He pitched very successfully for the Mets. He knows how good they are. We all understand what an unbelievable family environment that the Mets have created. Who wouldn't want to come play for the Mets? They're one of the best teams in baseball. That the excitement level is through the roof. They were in the NLCS last year, and they've only gotten better. He would welcome, as same thing with, obviously, OMG. We all know Candelita would do anything, move heaven and earth, have lunch with John Heyman just to become a Met. Quintana, you're going to get on a one-year cheap deal. There is no excuse not to go do it. And as Hal Steinbrenner, who's spending, what, $10, $15, $16 million less than Steve Cohen, is being called cheap to his face at every single turn, including by me. And we're going to get to that with the Stanton news. But as that owner is being called cheap and it's laughable, and he's running his father's franchise into the ground and everything like that. The billionaire is sitting there at 326, a hell of a lot of money, had an incredible offseason, but if he's going to pay minimal pricing for starting pitching, and he is not going to give more than a couple of years to any starting pitcher, and they are not going to attack free agency on pitchers over 30 years old and give 5-6 year contracts. If that's how they want to handle the rotation, fine. Fine. I'm open to it. Hell, I'm more than open to it. It was a success last year, and I think there's a lot of real good baseball sense into that process. But if you're going to plan like that, when injuries hit and now you are down two of your starting five, two. When you're competing with the Dodgers and you're competing with the Braves and you're competing with the Philadelphia Phillies and the San Diego Padres and the rest of a very difficult National League, you have to be open to fixing those holes with more one-year contracts. If you're going to treat it like one-year deals are the way to go, then the limit for the one-year deals should be theoretically endless. And a pitcher who has been successful for you, who had an incredible second half to the season last year for you, is still sitting there waiting to be poached. There is no reason, absolutely none, with an unknown timetable for Manaea. The manager can tell me all he wants, that it could be only be 7 days without throwing. It could only be 10 days without throwing. It could only be 2 weeks without throwing. Hey, we could have him back here by tax day on April 15th. And at that point, you don't even need a sixth starter necessarily. Sure. You know why that's hard to sell to me? Because your GM treats the rotation like that news is BS. Because the general manager says, I'm not paying pitching because pitchers get hurt and they're unreliable. So when pitchers get hurt, don't tell me the injury is reliable because you don't believe that. And you've shaped your decision-making on your rotation based on it. And you don't know what his timetable is until you get into it. And who knows how long Quintana is going to be sitting out there or how long it's going to take him to get going by the time you make that decision. Make the decision now. Bring him in. What's the worst case scenario? Dead weight on the team where he doesn't pitch? He's a long man in the rotation? What's the worst case scenario? McGill has another option to be sent down. You send down McGill. You have him waiting in the minor leagues. And you get Quintana ready for his start. And if Quintana pitches well, he never leaves the rotation. And if he pitches poorly, when the injuries come back, he's gone. And all it's cost you is money for an owner with endless pockets. You're not trading assets. You're not trading prospects. All you're doing is adding payroll. And if you're going to treat the rotation the way they treat it, then act like it. One-year deals are the way to go. No such thing as a bad one-year contract. Who cares about how much money it costs this owner? Who cares? And this is the year. He shouldn't care either on a short-term one-year deal for a pitcher who's already done it for him, a pitcher who's earned equity, a pitcher you can make the argument that I'm paying him a little bit for what he's done in the past and feel okay about it. Now is the time to go out there and get the pitcher because I don't care what the... And I'm not saying that... The manager is lying. He might believe that. That's might what he'd be told. It's not impossible it's a month, but it's very unlikely. And David Stearns tells you that in how he handles the rotation. So be consistent. Treat it like there's no such thing as a bad one-year contract and bring in someone who has done it for you, did it for you last year, knows the team, and can stabilize this rotation and the depths of the Blackburns and the Cannings and the McGills. This is the year to go win a championship. And this is just money. 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan. We'll get to, obviously, the news of Stanton where he's going back to New York. Early on, we thought it was based on the elbow injury to go see a doctor. Now we're hearing the likes of which of, you know, hey, it's a personal issue. And the Yankees are no stranger to sending mixed messages when it comes to injuries, so who knows what to believe. But I will tell you, the Yankees, as I scream about the owner for the Mets spending money, The arguments can be very similar when we get to them. 888-808-1019. We'll also spin the wheel of culture quarterbacks that the Jets should bring in instead of Aaron Rodgers. We'll get to the, obviously, the other quarterback situation. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, but Matthew Stafford out there exploring trades, and the Giants have been linked to him every which way. Other quarterbacks like Shedeur Sanders the Giants have been linked to are not going to work at the combine, so we got a lot to do.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Woo! All right, 226. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Opened it up with the Mets. Sean Manaea injury news. I don't think you can wait because you don't know how long it's going to be. There is no timetable. And for me, if you're going to sign 1-year contracts, what's another one? No such thing as a bad contract. You're not locking into a long-term thing. It's just, I don't know, what could you get them for? $8 to $10 million? So you double that up. It's another $16 million on the payroll. It's a billionaire. It's a 1-year deal. It's over after this year. They should go do it just to improve this team. They need it. And they'll need it. Listen, they talked about how great their depth is. Now there isn't any depth. Now their depth is gone. Add to your depth with a pitcher who was successful for you last year. 888-808-1019. Before we get to the calls, though, I did just want to say one thing briefly about the passing of Al Troutwig. I was very sad to hear about the passing of Al. Never had the fortune to meet him, but growing up as a Yankee fan, a Ranger fan, and a Knick fan in the 1990s, I mean, Al was prominent in my summers in particular. Just one of the great voices, always respected. Al always, you know, loved, you know, him being on the broadcast was a, you know, felt like a big deal when he would call the games a little bit with the Yankees. And then obviously pre and post to some of the bigger games, you know, the Knicks and Rangers at that time, that the in 94. Obviously did a lot with the Olympics, did a lot Tour de France, not so familiar with all that, but obviously MSG in the 90s was where I lived. And so Al Troutwig was always someone I respected and wish I'd have gotten to meet him. And then I was even more excited to know that we actually come from the same hometown. He's a Franklin Square guy. The most famous alum from my high school, H. Frank Carey High School. I put out a tweet. I didn't want to, you know, mention that. I always feel like whenever people put out like rest in peace tweets and they make them about themselves too much, it's always awkward. So I didn't want to put that out there. But yeah, Al went to the same high school I did. I knew about that, you know, when I was going there. My baseball coach was was around that long. He retired like the next year after me, but he was around that long to be there when Al went to school there. And then, obviously, I just watched Cool Runnings with my son. I talked about it. He was making a bobsled for his science project. His science project had to be Olympic themed, and him and his buddies came up with the idea to make like bobsleds and a track. So I was like making bobsleds with them, and just sitting around one day with nothing to do, I was like, let's watch Cool Runnings, a movie about bobsled, you know, the Jamaican bobsled team with my guy John Candy in it. So we watched Cool Runnings, and of course, the Olympic broadcaster in that movie is Al. And so like, I literally paused it, and I said, this is Al Troutwig. And I like gave my kids like a 10-minute lecture on Al Troutwig and how great he was, and he went to my high school, and you know, I grew up listening to him. He did Yankee games. He did pre and post for Knicks and Rangers. Like, when I was a kid, when I was your age, this was the guy before every big game. So, like, now my sons know who Al Troutwig is. But very sad to hear about the passing of Al. I know, as far as I know, he hasn't worked in a while. I believe he was having some poor health for a while. So, rest in peace. My thoughts and prayers to his friends and family. Very sad to hear. Loved Al Troutwig. I wish I would have got a chance to meet him. One of the guys I really wish I would have had a chance to meet and talk to, especially because we both went to... We're both from Franklin Square. I knew I wasn't born and raised in Franklin Square. I moved there when I was 8, but it's enough. Went to high school there, went to elementary school there. Feel like a Franklin Square kid. So that was always, Al Troutwig was the guy. Al Troutwig was my guy. I also saw a story that in the movie Meet the Parents, the famous pool scene, the volleyball pool scene, it takes place in Al Troutwig's house. That's Al Troutwig's pool. You know, do you think you could spike it? Yeah, it'd have to be pretty high. I bet you would, Panama Red. That happened in Al Troutwig's house and Al Troutwig's pool. How crazy is that? That's one of the stories that are circling on Twitter. And Steve Valiquette of MSG has, you know, confirmed it. And he says he has a great story about how the cast and crew like overstayed their welcome. It was they were there forever. And Al used to tell people that Robert De Niro didn't shake his hand. So Steve Valiquette... I just saw that he confirmed that story. That's amazing. But yeah, in Cool Runnings, he's terrific. He rents out his pool for another classic comedy. Al Troutwig.
Think about how excited we know avid Knicks fan Ben Stiller must have been to meet Al Troutwig.
Right. Definitely. That must. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe that's the genesis of it. But... yeah, Al Troutwig was my guy. And if you're a Yankee Ranger Knick fan, and almost everyone in the city is a Knick fan, especially back then, and the Rangers were pretty damn exciting back then too. So like most of us, if you grew up in the 90s, if you're my age, if you're somewhere between like 38 and maybe even 35, but really 38 to 45, and maybe even older than that. But like if you're 38 or older, And you grew up in the 90s. I mean, Al Troutwig was the voice of... I remember loving those. I loved Wade Boggs, and I loved Pat Kelly. And he was you know, the MSG had the Knicks, had the Yankees back then. And then, obviously, before every big Knick game and every big Ranger playoff game, there was Al. So, very sad to hear that news. Plus, a great Cary alum. Seahawks. Let's go Seahawks. Let's get back to the calls, though, now. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Dan in Massachusetts. What's up, Dan?
Hi, Mac. On that New York song, I'm gonna say something that I haven't heard mentioned regarding the song.
Uh-huh.
Now, I agree that it shouldn't be played after a loss. That's for sure. And although Frank Sinatra, to me, may be the best at enunciating the words, because you know you hear Sinatra sing a song, and you can always understand the lyrics because of his great diction.
Okay.
And, and Frank, he first sang the song in 1979. But, here's the but. Okay. I prefer the singer who first introduced the song in the film New York, New York. It was either 76 or 77 with Robert De Niro, and that's Liza Minnelli.
Mm-hmm.
You ever hear her sing the song?
I don't, but I've read articles saying that the Yankees messed around with different versions of New York, New York, and did play Liza Minnelli.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they used to play it for a brief time. I forget what year it was. I think it was like 1990, they said.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there was a brief time they played multiple versions of it, and typically when they lost, so the Liza Minnelli version was played sometimes after losses, sometimes after wins. It was mixed in, as well as a duet between Frank Sinatra and Tony Bennett. I guess there's a version of New York, New York with both of them that they did a duet, and the Yankees would mix that in as well before going to strictly, you know, just Frank's version.
I love Frank, too. I just...
Who doesn't love Frank? I love Frank.
I liked the soundtrack from that that musical New York, New York so much that I bought the soundtrack. There were a lot of good songs in it, but, you know, like I said, I'm not complaining about Frank. It's just that, I kind of like Liza belts that song out just like she did Cabaret, man.
Yeah, I can't tell you much about Liza Minnelli. You just mentioned, like, the two things I know, and the New York, New York is only because I read an article. When I think of Liza Minnelli, I think of two things, I guess. I think of Cabaret, as you just said, and she's the daughter of Dorothy, and for some reason, Judy Garland. Thank you. Other than that, I don't know much about Liza Minnelli, to be totally honest with you. And she was
also she's incredible in Arrested Development.
Oh, I've never really watched all of Arrested Development. She was also in Arthur, right, the drunk movie where what's his name is drunk all the time. I can't think of his name right now. But as you've learned, I'm not good with names for whatever reason. I could tell you like everything about that stupid movie, Arthur, but I can't remember the guy's name. And he wasn't in much else, really. Arthur was kind of his calling card, as far as I know. But here's my take on the New York, New York thing, and I gave it yesterday. I don't feel as strongly as other Yankee fans do. I really don't. I feel a little bit like going to Yankee Stadium and hearing that song is just part of going to Yankee Stadium. I never associated it with... And maybe I'm wrong, because in most of my time, they played almost all the times I can remember going to the stadium. And not that I've even thought about it very much going to the stadium. But most of the time that I go to the stadium, I hear the song at the end of the game, win or lose. So it's not like, how could you associate winning with something that happens whether you win or lose? So I've never associated... like the playing of Frank Sinatra as, Yankees win, here comes New York, New York. They play it every time, whether or win or lose. The only thing, and so for me, if I go to Yankee Stadium, and say I have a relative from, Atlanta, Georgia, or wherever. Right now, my uncle just retired to South Carolina. He's not from South Carolina, but say I have relatives who are from South Carolina, never been to a Yankee game, they're coming up to see me and the kids, and they want to go check out a Yankee game. Like, even if they lose... listening to Frank Sinatra in New York, New York in Yankee Stadium is a thing. It's a thing. So like in a game in July against the Royals, or a game in July against the Arizona Diamondbacks, or a game in July against the Minnesota Twins or the Cleveland Guardians or whomever. Like you lose a game in the middle of the year that's not the be-all, end-all, and they play New York, New York. That's part of just the experience at Yankee Stadium. That's how I've always viewed it, and I don't mind it. But I have to admit, and you, I don't know if you want to call this hypocritical or talking out of both sides of my mouth or just having nuance to the argument is how I'd like to put it. If the New York Yankees, I don't want to watch the Los Angeles Dodgers celebrate the World Series while that song plays. I guess that's fair. I don't want to see a team celebrate on the field. Other than that, even a playoff loss, even game one of a series, I don't mind it. I don't want to see teams celebrate. Other than that, I really don't care. That's how I've always felt about it. It's part of going to Yankee Stadium. It's part of going to Yankee Stadium. Should they stop doing YMCA if the Yankees are down by 6 or 7 runs? Like, should we not celebrate that moment? Should we not have fun in that moment? Hey, the Yankees are losing. Why are we doing YMCA? Just tell the ground crew to fix the damn dirt. They're down 7-1. Enough with the YMCA. Are you asking me to pick an 80s song right now? Do you know that they're down 6-0? Are you seriously playing Cotton Eye Joe now? They're down by 10 runs and you're up there dancing to Cotton Eye Joe? I don't care. Like, that's how I view it all the same. I view YMCA and Frank Sinatra at the end of the game the same. It's a Yankee Stadium thing. That's how I've always viewed it. I've never viewed it as, hey, we won, so now we play the song. Hey, we lost, I don't want to hear it. I've never felt that way. Other than the actual celebration. I don't want them throwing their gloves up in the air. I don't want them pouring champagne all over each other while New York plays. That I'll give you. But really, other than that, I don't mind it at all. Never have. I don't think I will. But having said that, am I going to feel like, oh my God, I've been cheated out of a great experience if they play That's Life when I leave? No, I guess I won't. So again, it's very similar to the beard thing for me. I don't care. I never viewed it as some sort of something very, you know, important or some sort of very, something connected so deeply to the New York Yankees that removing it is some sort of travesty. Like, I don't view it that way. Never have. And the same thing with Frank Sinatra. If they play Frank Sinatra after they lost to the Royals in June, I'm walking out singing the song. It's baseball. There's 162 of them. I wouldn't care about doing YMCA down 10 runs. I don't care about any other thing. Why are we playing the hat game? Like, at what level is it, oh, well, they're losing, so I don't want to do anything? They're losing, we can't listen to this? They've lost, I don't want to hear it? It's an experience. You go there, you spend money, you get the bells and whistles. And one of the bells and whistles, and something that made Yankee Stadium Yankee Stadium, is listening to Frank Sinatra sing New York, New York. So I didn't need it. I know the fan base overwhelmingly is thrilled to have it. I heard Keith talking about it today again. That he wants credit for it, or deserves credit for it, and he does. He's been talking about it forever. Keith, JJ, I've heard these guys talk about this for years. He's not lying. He's been behind this for years. It has bothered him for a long time, leaving Yankee Stadium listening to that song. I've never, other than I said, the only time I've ever hated it was I was at the 2016 wildcard game against the Astros. 2015, rather. I'm sorry. 2015 wildcard game against the Astros. Leaving that game, and I remember as I was walking out, and I had really good seats. Francesa got them for us. I went. I don't think I sat with Mike that night, but he got us tickets. Me, Monzo, Julio, the crew. I was second row, third base side. Not behind the dugout, but further down the line. Great seats. As I was leaving, there was a group of about 8 or 9, that many, 8 or 9 guys, full Astro uniform. Like, they had the pants, they had the shirt, they were dressed up like Astros. They were wearing the road grays, they were in the same clothes as the players on the field, and there was like 8 of them. And they were just waving goodbye to everybody who was walking out. And having a grand old time, and New York, New York was playing, and I was like, oh, Jesus. Other than that, I've never cared. I've walked out of losing playoff games. I've walked out on obviously losing big games. I've never thought to myself, why are they playing New York, New York? It's part of it. I've always viewed it as just part of the of going to Yankee Stadium. Same as YMCA, same as anything else. That's how I've always viewed it. I never viewed it as, hey, we've won, let's play Frank, because that's not how they've treated it. And I never really got that upset about it, other than that one time. But I could tell you if I was at Game 5 of the World Series, that's the last thing I'd want to hear. I have to admit. So to avoid that one scenario, it's worth it. But I really don't care that much. Ben in Maspeth. What's up, Ben? Ben, you still there, buddy?
Yeah, still there. No, I didn't fall asleep. I was just at Giants. I know I didn't want to sidetrack here, but another postseason football over, right? No Jets, no Giants,
right,
in the playoffs. And you look at all the teams that got into the playoffs and through to the end, you know, quarterback, same thing. Giants can get it wrong this time. If they get it wrong this time, that's another 5 or 7 years, I think, down the drain. Either they get the big free agent. I don't know how you feel about Stafford or Sanders or something, but you got that kid Malik Nabers. Like,
right,
he's a stud.
Mm-hmm.
He needs a quarterback. If he gets someone who could throw him the ball, guarantee you, Giants could maybe, you know, look at 500 or more, next couple of seasons. That's a guy you want to keep. You want to develop.
Oh, of course.
You could say it's an OBJ 2.0, maybe. I like the swagger. I like the way he plays.
Yeah, listen, he had more receptions. I don't think he's as explosive. I still think, he doesn't jump off the screen to me. As much as he was great, and maybe, listen, he had a rough go of it after the concussion. He started out really good. A lot of receptions, couple touchdowns, other than the big key drops that he made specifically against Washington, that one killer drop. Other than that, he was having a great start. Then he went through, after he got the concussion, a couple of weeks where he was just okay. He wasn't getting into the end zone. Again, also, quarterback plays atrocious. So that's all granted. OBJ had Eli Manning. But he still jumped off the screen more than Malik Nabers has, for me. Beckham was on another level. I mean, he would take a slant and just run out of, and plus the one-handed catch, obviously, against the Cowboys, but he really jumped off the screen to me. Malik Nabers looks like and maybe it's because there are so many young, talented, great wide receivers in the game right now that I'm used to it, and I'd have to go back. I'm sure there's always great players, but it felt like Odell Beckham just jumped off the screen. Like, who is this guy? His talent was oozing out of him. I haven't, as great as Malik Nabers has been, and I agree with you, stud, as if he gets a legitimate quarterback, watch out, he could be one of the best wide receivers in the sport, and maybe I'll feel differently next year. And again, he's been given Daniel Jones and, you know, Drew Locke, while Odell Beckham Jr. had Eli Manning, so that's fair, but I still would say that rookie season of Odell Beckham Jr. jumped off the page more than Malik Nabers has. So I'm not ready to call Malik Nabers Odell Beckham 2.0, but he is a extremely talented wide receiver. And if given the offense, given the quarterback, there's no reason why he can't be a top three wide receiver in this game. There's no reason. And I think that's important too. Yeah, developing him is important. Absolutely. That's why I want to get the veteran quarterback and draft the young quarterback. So, yeah, I mean, listen, anytime you go to this, you can't get it wrong, right? You want to draft a quarterback? Yeah, you can't get it wrong. You want to do this? You can't get it wrong. You know that. Listen, if you get it wrong, it doesn't matter what position. Like, it's going to kill you. You get it wrong, it kills you no matter what position. You can't waste a pick at the top of the draft. You can't. It doesn't have to be a quarterback. But I don't know about trading for Stafford and then paying him $50 million. Is this team ready for that? Is this team good enough to justify that when you're better off probably drafting a young quarterback, not having to pay him and put money around the roster? I think I'd still rather do that. And we'll see. Shedeur Sanders is not going to throw or do anything at the combine except talk to teams. So we're not going to get a look at him here. We'll get a look at him at Pro Day, I'm sure. But he's obviously someone the Giants are very invested in and talking to. I prefer Cam Ward a little bit. I lean Cam Ward. Who knows where he's going to go? Most people say he's the top quarterback in the draft. That's why, to me, I know it's crazy, and most Giant fans don't agree with me. I wouldn't mind trading up to number one. I don't know what you'd have to give up, you know, a couple this year's two, next year's two, and obviously the third pick. Swap picks and give two number twos to move up to one. I don't mind that. I understand the thought process between a lot of Giant fans who say that's the last thing I'm doing. This executive might, you know, he might not even be here next year, this GM and this coach. And you're going to let them trade second round picks and hamper the next guy to go get a quarterback when they can take one and three. If they move up, I know they believe in the guy. I know. I don't want to wonder. And I know this is, maybe it's faulty thinking, but I want to know that they love this guy. And if they trade up to number one to draft him, whether it's Sanders or Cam Ward, then I know they are fully committed belief in this guy. Now, if they draft him third, they might feel, hey, we're in a position to draft a quarterback. We have to. We preferred Cam Ward, but Sanders is here. We kind of like him. Should we draft Carter? Should we draft Sanders? I think we need a quarterback Sanders. Like, I don't want to even think that. I don't even want to wonder if that was their guy or not. They'll tell me it's their guy, but I will always wonder if they take that second quarterback with the third pick. I'll always wonder if it was their guy or not. If they move up, that shows a level of commitment and a level of belief that I want.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Bam, 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 bam. All right, 888-808-1019. Mick Bonegal here with you on The Fan. I believe the Giant fan in me said before, Chase Blackburn, when I was talking about the Mets rotation, obviously it's Paul Blackburn, but yes, Chase Blackburn, linebacker, Super Bowl champion, New York Giant. Those days are long, long ago. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls here before the top of the hour. Nick and Dobbs Ferry. What's up, Nick?
Hey, Chris. How you doing, buddy?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I can't complain. The only thing I can complain about is Michael Kay just completely trashing you on his podcast after Evan Roberts said that stuff.
He trashed me?
Yeah, you didn't hear the podcast today?
No, I heard Michael Kay's podcast? No. I didn't know Michael Kay had a podcast.
Yeah.
He has a show.
Yeah, I think... I'm pretty sure he's off the radio and now he's...
No, he's on every day at 1 o'clock. He's doing a solo
show. Okay.
There's no more... The Michael Kay show, as you knew it, is no longer, but he does a show, I think it's 1 to 3... every day solo on ESPN Radio.
Okay, well, you did him more of a favor by giving him that plug than he did you on that, because I heard it on X.
I didn't give him anything. And, I guess Evan brought up my... I just tweeted, yeah, I guess I did knock him a little bit. I tweeted out, I don't appreciate being told to not score a game during the broadcast. If they can wear beards, I can score a game.
I know. He ripped. Yeah. Oh my god.
It was
god,
very tongue in cheek. I mean, oh, he specifically ripped that tweet too.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta go back and listen to it.
Well, that's all I want to talk about. But yeah, you got him worked up, Chris.
I gotta go back and listen to it. I know Evan. Listen, Evan trashed him. All I did was throw a tongue in cheek.
Trust me.
All right, so go ahead. But that's fine.
Yeah.
Evan did go after him, I'm not surprised Michael Kay responded, but I didn't do anything. But go ahead.
He gave it to Evan more than you, but he did bring that up, but whatever.
Okay.
So as far as the Giants quarterback situation goes, I know, I don't know if necessarily you've been, because I normally can't get to this hour, but I made it tonight. As far as, like, a lot of Giants people are trying to, like, get on that Matthew Stafford thing because they don't think Cam Ward and Shador Sanders are going to be, you know, total franchise quarterbacks, which I necessarily don't believe in. But if you're trying to go with the veteran thing, I think the Jets fumbled the bag big time in Aaron Rodgers. Just like George Harrison said in all those years ago, they treated him like a dog. And I think Matthew Stafford is good for a different team, but as far as a team that's trying to do a turnover within 2 years, I think Aaron Rodgers can teach a lot to the team. and not bring the drama that Matthew Stafford would with his wife possibly sleeping with Tommy DeVito would to New York.
His wife possibly sleeping. Enough. Thanks for all the time. Thanks for all the jokes. Look, I we're going to go over the wheel of culture quarterbacks next. I think the Jets are making a mistake moving on from Aaron Rodgers, too. I think they should try and get a young quarterback in the draft, maybe not in seventh, but maybe later in the draft, and bring back Aaron Rodgers. I think it's their best chance to win, and I think they need to make the playoffs. And I still believe in them, and it's better than the options we're going to go through. Antonio, I want to make sure I get Antonio in before the top. Antonio in Dover Plains. What's up, Antonio?
Hey, C-Mac, what's going on?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
C-Mac, really quick, I want to talk about the Knicks and the Mets. So on Sunday, I'm watching the game. So unfortunately, both games start at 1, the Mets and the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell my son, all right, let's watch the Mets. I want to see Juan Soto's first at bat. It's a home run. I'm all excited. I said, all right, let's go flip to the Knicks game. They're already losing by 15. I said, this team has no identity. They are an embarrassment. They are 0-7 against these elite teams. And not only 0-7, they're getting killed. Not even a competitive game. 0-3 against Boston and all games losing by 20 points.
Yes.
Like,
on average by 20 points.
Isn't he known for defense?
Yes.
Like, they have no defense.
No, they have not.
Tarzan Towns is hurt, and he brings it back in the game where a minute and a half to go, and the game is out of reach already. I really don't get it with him.
No, listen, he's catching a lot of flack right now. He definitely is, and thank you for the call. He's definitely catching a lot of flack right now. Defensively, yeah. I mean, it's also the players. Let's be totally fair. I want to make sure we're fair on this. As much as I'm down on Thibodeau at the moment, and not all the way down where I think he should be fired, or like, I don't know if I put him in the same boat as some of these coaches who have the moniker of not getting a team over the hump. I don't know if they lose this year in the second round, should he be fired and have a new coach brought in? That's a stretch for me. I've heard people say that. I don't know. But what I will tell you is, to be fair, yeah, his two best players don't defend. OG Anunoby has been a step slow for 2 months and been injured for a month. And Mikal Bridges was supposed to be a perimeter defender. I'm yet to see him fight through a screen. And I was screaming at the radio today, listening to Evan talk about it. I also wanted to say, you know, he shies away from contact on the defense. He shies away from contact on offense, too. Mikal Bridges, for all his woes shooting and everything, he doesn't try and get to the basket at all or create contact at all. He is averaging one foul shot per game. He doesn't get to the foul line. He never attacks the basket. Like, never. And he doesn't fight through a single screen. He has been an awful defender compared to what he's been and what he's supposed to be. He avoids contact on both the offensive and defensive sides of the ball, and he hasn't shot the three well this year. So utterly, like for five draft picks, it's a ridiculous return. It's a horrendous return. So I want to kill Tibbs. I do. I'm frustrated with him. Yes, Carl Anthony Towns on the floor in that moment makes absolutely no sense. The defensive adjustments, particularly in these games and these matchups he keeps playing the same kind of defense where they're, you know, backing off the screens instead of fighting through them. He's doing it over and over again, and they keep getting open looks. Like, change your defensive strategy, even if it's just against the Celtics. You're getting blown out every time you play them. And watching every game, it's the same game. By the end of the first quarter, the game's over every time they play. And offensively, it looks exactly the same. Playing out the shot clock, taking a last-second three, long rebound, leads into transition, basket for the Celtics. Like, that's the first quarter of all three games they played. Like, there has been no distinction. There's been no idea of let's try this or try that. It's we play our game. They're getting killed. So I'm down with Tibbs, too. But, I mean, I also have to admit, Carl Anthony Towns is their second best player. He doesn't play defense really. He's one of the, you know, he's for a big man, he's not a great rim protector. As much as we all love Brunson, doesn't really defend. And Mikal Bridges has not been what he's supposed to be. And OG Anunoby looks tired or injured for the last 2.5 months. I don't really know what you expect them to be defensively. But I would like to see some game plan adjustments, particularly against these teams where they're getting blown out.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.